AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Hey, it's Friday. We got through another week. I can't tell what day it is. Matt and Patrick here. Patrick, one of the things I think is kind of important to do that we don't do enough. And that is that because Republicans will always say, government's always in the way. By the way, where's my ag payment? That sort of thing. You know, they kind of the hypocrisy of it. You know, big government, get out of here. By the way, I need Medicare and Medicaid to survive. You know, that sort of thing. I've often praised the post office because as much as people want to say, oh, we don't need the post office. Post office is one of the most efficient, if not the most efficiently run organization I've ever seen. I'm dead serious. I mean, think about all the mail that you've ever mailed in your life. I'm 51 years old. Think of all the cards, Christmas cards you've mailed. I mean, we just had Charlie's graduation, sent a bunch of graduation cards out, all the bills, monthly bills I have to mail off. For years and years back, I mean, I know this is going to sound weird, but actually, when I was younger, I used to write letters to people. I know. You would sit down and write a letter. I know. But the reality is that you just don't do that anymore, but you still do use the post office. How many times have I truly had the post office lose one of my pieces of mail? In 51 years, maybe twice, maybe three times. I mean, we're not talking about stuff that doesn't get delivered that I eventually get back to my house. You know, it's I'm talking about stuff that you mail it and no one ever got it. And once again, and you really can't say it's the post office. They could have delivered it. The other people could have lost it. So you don't know, but at least you can say that only a handful of times, at most, one hand for most of us, the post office has failed you. For how much? I mean, for many of my years, it was, 27 cents, 29 cents to mail a letter? For goodness sakes. The post office works. I'll give you another one. And this is, I know this is going to come across. There are some people that are going to be like, what? The DNR. I had to get a permit for some work we're going to be doing on our cabin later this summer. And I went and filled out the application. I think I filled it out last Friday. On Sunday, I noticed I had an email saying, oh, you have to pay. You know, we've done your initial approval. We've done the initial look at. You need to pay. Okie dokie, can do. So I did, I think it was on Monday, I did make the payment. I got the permits today. That's efficient. I don't care who you are. That's efficient government. That is unbelievably efficient government. And as much as Republicans like big government, they're 100% for big government. It's just they're for big government, mainly for the wealthiest of people at the expense of all of us, which is not really a good deal. No, the Republicans, as much as they scream about how bad government is, the reality is almost every day I am reminded, I mean, the police in my town, they're very good. And one of the things we need to make sure we do highlight is that the problems in the Minneapolis Police Department are not the problems in every police department. That is for sure. They just have a lot of them in Minneapolis. And you know, that doesn't carry over, though. My police department, Hopkins Police, fantastic. Hopkins Fire, fantastic. Parks and Rec, they got the flowers planted. Everything looks nice. They're working around putting a light rail line in. Which is a pretty ambitious project, by the way. FYI, they're running that sucker all the way from Eden Prairie all the way into downtown, and they're getting it in. Efficient government, as much as Republicans, because you see, the Republicans can't convince you to shut down an agency so they can give that money to the wealthy people unless they convince you the agency is bad. And the reality is there's a lot of government that works. And I have to tell you the truth. I am just at point, I'm astounded at how well it does work because, you know, I'm not grown up necessarily in this generation, but I started in the 80s under Reagan, who was like, you know, don't trust the government. And that's become the mantra. And it's comical. I mean, it really is comical. They really are people who are out there saying, big government is a joke. By the way, where's my big ag payment? They literally are that bone dead stupid to their whole argument. But the reality is that, you know, there's a lot of government that works, and it works really, really well. And that's something we should be touting. Phil is in New York State. Phil, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Yeah, hi, Matt. Matt, I'm a big supporter of the post office.
Yes.
I work with folks that are on tube feeding, so I ship donated nutritional formula and other supplies around the country. And, yes, the pandemic has affected the post office a bit, but other than that, there's no other way to go. I can ship in large flat rate priority mailboxes, you know, 30 pounds of nutritional formula for $20. UPS, FedEx goes by weight. It's cost prohibitive.
Oh.
Post office is the only way to go, and they rarely lose an item.
I got to say this, and Phil, thank you very much. I will say this, and about the and thank you very much, Phil. I appreciate it. Let me say this about the shipping companies. I worked for a company that we did do some shipping. The only way we could guarantee we would not have a damaged package is if we bought the grossly expensive insurance that was near $100 a package. Then it wasn't getting left out in the rain. Then it wasn't getting bent in half. Then it wasn't having an edge, crushed. And I would say, when you come to these private sector shipping companies, I would say, from my experience, 20% of the packages we shipped came back were damaged. 20%. Because, and you want to know the truth is, I think they figured this out. I think they figured it out. It's like, well, we can kind of damage 20% of the packages, and, you know, really, they don't really have a better option when it comes to bulk shipping. It's grossly expensive. Now, post office, by far. If I could ship I would encourage everyone to ship with the post office. I mean, it's a far better organization. And you want to know the truth, that's why the Republicans want to kill the post office right now, because they want that money that they set aside for the pension fund. They want to give that money to wealthy people. End of story, end of discussion. That's what they want to do. They want to take all the money from the post office and give it to the wealthy people. And so now it's the post office bad. No, post office works just fine. It just does. It does. How about government that doesn't work fine? That's right. The Republican-led Minnesota Senate. Now, I want to bring up, today the special session started. Now, what happens is when Governor Walz, they extend the 30 days, the emergency authority was extended for 30 days. Once he does that, the House and Senate are immediately called back into session because they have the right to override this. If they vote to override it, he can veto, and then if they have a veto-proof majority, they can basically shut down the government and say, no, you do not have, no longer have emergency powers. And so that is not a Republican, like, let's shut this down. No, that's just by state law. That's what happens. Now, the Republicans will vote to do it because they're idiots. I want to make sure we point out, how about I give you another example of government that works? Tim Walz. Tim frickin' Walz. He started this whole thing. He said, we're not going to stop a major outbreak. But what we'll do is we'll be able to extend it and not have to deal with it in late March, early April. We won't have to deal with it in late April, early May. We will get it to a point where we'll have the ICU beds ready. We'll have the hospitalization staff ready. We'll have the testing ready, which he has. Everything Governor Walz said he was going to do, he has done. And on top of that, he has been dealing with, you know, a major unrest in the largest city in his state. He has been mag-freaking-nificent. And I'd say that. Governor Walz, I think, has been magnificent. And everything he said he was going to do with his emergency powers, he has done. He is just making sure, as opposed to the idiots over to the east in Wisconsin, we're doing it right here. But the Republicans in the Senate, they're not government that works. Now, of course they're going to vote to stop the emergency order, even though it makes no sense to do so, because they just want to open everything up, get everyone sick, and then blame Democrats because everybody's sick. You should have stopped us. I guess that'd be my guess of what they're going to do. But I got to bring up the point. They've come up with a plan to deal with police misconduct, and they're going to try to pass this. Now, there are two things. I want to talk about two things about the process before I get into what they're going to try to do in the Republican Senate. The first is this, that Gazelka, for the last 3 or 4 days, has been screaming, we're not going to rush this. We're going to take our time and give our due diligence. We don't want to just ram things through. Well, it's announced today that Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Warren Limmer has already got 5 bills written and ready to go, which I'm going to guess most of the Republican senators haven't even read these bills. So wait a minute here. What are you doing, Gazelka? Is it something that you're not going to pass anything until you've had due diligence to go over it? Or are you going to write some bills in the dark, or what? Have some agency like Alec hand you some bills and say, you can pass these bills, just scratch out Kansas and put in Minnesota, and there you go. We'll pass those bills. I don't quite know. There's a definite contradiction to what you're saying. On top of that, there is a element here which points to Gazelka and the Republicans, I think, are terrified of police reform right now. The fact that they're actually bringing up police reform bills at all, and they're going to vote on some. I mean, I'm going to be honest. The very least you could do, they have written bills which are probably approved by Bob Kroll, which are quite literally the very least you could do in this situation in the aftermath of George Floyd. But they are doing something. But they've already said they're going to adjourn no matter what next Friday. So they're basically saying, well, we're going to pass these bills. We're going to throw them at the House. And if they don't want to pass them, that's on them. But these are the bills that we're the only going to vote on these bills, which is, by the way, that's not government. That's authoritarianism. That's a monarchy, Gazelka. That's not how politics work. You don't just get to say to the House, we're doing it my way. Your buddy Doubt down there kept trying to do that as well. No, it's not your way or the highway. You have to negotiate with these people, and you just saying you're going to chuck these bills at them is the case. The other thing is there's the bonding bill that's out there. And my suggestion now that we know what Gazelka's plan is going to be to say to them, we're not going to pass until we have a deal on, you know, police reform in the state of Minnesota. We're not even in the House going to talk about the bonding bill, which would mean that if you want to know the truth is if the House Democrats did this, my guess is they won't adjourn next Friday, that they'll vote on a Republican Senate only version, which probably has not seen the light of day, of the bonding bill. They'll vote on their police reform bills. They'll chuck them out. And on Monday or Tuesday, they'll gavel close and run for the hills because they don't want anything to do with this. They do not, because they have to basically say no to police reform, any meaningful reform. Now, let me read out of the Star Tribune story about this case. Gazelka and the chairman Limmer laid out their agenda shortly after the legislature convened for special session. They said there's only a limited amount of time to act because they intend to adjourn next Friday no matter what. That would effectively force the state house to adjourn too, but Gazelka said lawmakers could continue to work on bigger changes. Minnesota has the opportunity to lead the way for the nation for reconciliation on the races and some of the problems we're addressing. Let's begin here. You're not really even beginning. You're throwing out what he's desperately doing is he's throwing out minimal things. And I'll get to what the Republicans are proposing in the Senate. Minimal things, and then hoping that will be enough. And because that's what they'll say is, we already passed a litany of bills. We passed so many bills in the Senate. And now you want us to pass more. That's what they're going to say. That's going to be Gazelka. Continuing, Limmer said of the 5 policing bills the Senate will pass before next Friday will include some of the non-controversial Democratic proposals. So once again, if I can be honest here, this is once again the absolute least they can do. This is from Brianna Bierschbach over at the Star Tribune. Limmer said the GOP special session agenda on policing reform includes, we'll go through these each one at a time. Background checks on law enforcement administrative employees. What? Wait, You think the problem is not white power, white supremacist Nazis on the police force patrolling the streets? You think the problem are the people who file the paperwork back in the precinct? That is not, that is, that's nonsensical beyond nonsensical. And I get it. What they're going to say is, we pass background checks on cops. No, you're passing background checks on law enforcement administrative employees. How many people is that even anyway within a police department? 12? I mean, do you really think that that's the biggest problem facing the Minneapolis police? Well, apparently they do. Requiring the reporting of use of deadly force. Wait a minute. You're saying that that's not something we have to report right now? That's a massive failure. Hey, yeah, so if you try to shoot somebody, you gotta, you know, talk to the boss, you know? Really? That's, once again, another one of the Republicans' least we can do things. Here, this is mental health care for law enforcement experiencing trauma. Okay, we could spend money on mental health in the community and probably have some success in not having to send police on mental health calls or stuff like this. But you're concerned about, not about George Floyd being murdered in the street by Derek Chauvin. You're not concerned about that. You're concerned about the mental state of some of the other cops who had to witness one of their cops doing it. That's a priority for you? Wow. Also, a ban on chokeholds and restraints. Now, I'm not against this. This is obviously something here. But reminder, the Republicans are saying this because what they want to do is you know, they act like they're doing something tough. The problem, okay, with all due respect, the problem is that George Floyd's dead and a cop murdered him. How he did that is part of the story, but the larger problem is the fact that the Minneapolis cops keep killing black people. Jamar Clark wasn't even the guy tried to do the San Diego maneuver on Jamar Clark, and they ended up shooting him because the one cop screwed it up so bad. Philando Castile, that wasn't a chokehold. That guy's just shot in the car. Justine DeMond was just walking up to a police car, for God's sakes. I mean, are the Republicans, the next time an African-American dies in the city of Minneapolis at the hands of the cops, are they really, you know, it's a shame about the black guy, but look, he used a chokehold. We told you not to use the chokehold. Is that really your priority? One thing that the Republicans won't do, the Limmer has specifically rejected the Democratic proposal to put the state attorney general in charge of prosecuting officer-involved killings. Now, let's be honest, Mike Freeman should not be in charge of prosecuting. He's already screwed up so many damn cases, and his third-degree murder charge was a joke, to say the least. He is compromised. He should not be involved in anything that has to do with holding the police department accountable. I'd make the same argument about the medical examiner as well. It seems that he is somewhat compromised. That office is compromised. And so they shouldn't be there. But the idea of removing a clearly compromised prosecutorial department from the process of holding cops accountable is a no-go because it's Keith Ellison as the attorney general. So I just want to make sure we all understand the scoreboard here. Republicans are not nearly as bothered by a white cop killing a black man than they are about another black man holding that white cop accountable. That really bugs them. That is a line in the sand they will not cross. That is not something they will do. And it just shows you the Minnesota GOP just suck at what they do. Because they frankly want to go back and say, well, George Floyd deserved it. I guarantee you there's some... My God! Look at what Grossel is saying up in his district. I guarantee you a lot of these guys want to go back to their districts and campaign about how, you know, we got to get tough on crime. But here you are. And once again, the murder of a black man at the hands of a cop doesn't bother you nearly as much as a black man holding that white cop accountable. That is too far. Wow. Let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More to get to today, including I got more Grossel. I've got anger. Oh, the Republicans are upset about the Columbus statue. We'll get to that. And also a Minnesota update. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect gift idea for Dad this Father's Day. Whether the dad on your list likes baseball, barbecues, or biographies, Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find just the right book to make his Father's Day a special occasion. Plus, Next Chapter even sells cards and puzzles. Call them daily between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to talk to a bookseller. They love making recommendations. That's 651-225-8989 or nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Werner Stellion is honored to partner with Open Arms during the Delivering for Good event. For each laundry pair purchased June 16th and 17th, Werner Stellion will donate $100 to Open Arms in support of its deliveries of free, medically tailored meals to families living with life-threatening illnesses. During the current crisis, demand for Open Arms services has grown 25%, and one-third of its clients lack access to critical resources due to recent events. Learn how you can support Open Arms at WernerStellion.com. The Electric Fetus has reopened in a limited capacity. New hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, closed on Sunday and Monday. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup. They're only buying used vinyl at this time by appointment only. Visit electricfetus.com for all the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. The Electric Fetus is excited to welcome you back to a safe shopping experience.
Reminder, and I want to make sure everyone understands this, because this is something that we have to make sure people understand. The Republican Party of Minnesota is far less bothered by a white cop murdering a black man than a black man acting as the prosecutor to hold that white cop accountable. That's why this is a non-deal. It's just that it's not that it's not a good idea. Of course it's a good idea. For God's sakes, Mike Freeman's office has been made tons of mistakes in these cases. It's just the fact that the idea of Keith Ellison doing it infuriates Republicans. And so so they're perfectly fine. You know, if the two options are white cop kills a black man or a black man acts as the attorney and holds a white man accountable, well, they'd rather go with the white cop killing the black man. That's what it sure seems like, because they're the ones who are insisting that's a no way that they're going to give any they're going to give Keith Ellison the power to charge and prosecute officers involved in killings. And he should be in charge of it. So let's do the Minnesota update on COVID-19 while we get the chance. More than 1,000 Minnesotans living in long-term care and related facilities have died of COVID-19, a milestone that reflects the heavy toll the pandemic has had on the elderly and vulnerable people in the state. Now I want to stop right there and say, for the record, to all you jackasses out there who insisted when this started that this is just the seasonal flu, or we're saying, well, just because some elderly people are dying doesn't mean it's a big deal. 1,000 people are dead. 1,000 people, many of whom are part of the greatest generation. 1,000 people, many of whom vote Republican. And you idiots basically sit there and mock and dismiss. And then, and even today, Gazelka's like, open everything. 1,000 people have died since late February in Minnesota. 1,000 people have died since it's June. If this, God forbid we have another major spike, because in 1 year we could end up losing 5,000-6,000 Minnesotans to this disease. And I'm sure Republicans are already like, so it's a bad flu season. I get it. Or just because grandma and grandpa were old, do I need to worry about it? Yeah, well, it's not your grandma and grandpa. You don't have any problem killing off other people's elderly relatives. This is scary stuff, man. And it still is. And it's now, was it North Carolina, Arizona, California all had their highest days of new cases yet already. More than 1,000 Minnesotans living in, let me continue in the next paragraph. The Minnesota Department of Health on Friday reported another 25 deaths related to COVID-19, bringing the total for the pandemic to 1,274, including 1,015 in long-term care facilities. The state also reported another 490 lab-confirmed cases, bringing the known total of cases to the disease to 29,795. So far, 82% of the deaths in Minnesota involve people 70 or older. But still, by the way, that's 18% are 70 and younger. And we've had people that have been dying that have not been elderly people. So you got to be careful with this. Underlying health conditions have greatly increased the odds in severe cases. Hospitalizations of COVID-19 patients dropped slightly on Friday to 403. Good news there, including 191 needing intensive care due to severe respiratory other symptoms. That's the lowest number since early May. That is a good thing. And once again, this is what Governor Walz's plan was, to try to make sure we stretch this out. Hopefully we don't overtax our system. Growth of COVID-19 cases in Minnesota has ebbed so far in June, but health officials remain concerned about the potential for a surge of cases. Increased diagnostic testing capacity is part of the state task force strategy and track to respond to such uptick in Minnesota. The state on Thursday reported 1,391 diagnostic tests, the second highest daily total so far the state during the pandemic. Meanwhile, I want to make sure I also report out in the story I just covered about the special session starting, Gazelka literally said, well, we need to be more like Wisconsin. Wisconsin just canned two of their more senior health department officials because they were refusing to not be honest about COVID-19 numbers. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any answer. That seems to be the only answer. The state's not answering why two people were let go. But it sure seems like the reason why they were in Wisconsin was because they were not willing to fudge the numbers. Minnesota's numbers are bad because we took it seriously, and Governor Walz, through his leadership, working with the Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota, put out there a mandate to get a test in place so that we could test Minnesotans en masse and find out how bad it really is. He has done a wonderful job. But that's why our numbers are high. That's why we have cases. But we've managed this system, this problem so far. And, you know, right now, as the fire is, it's not out, it's ebbing. We're starting to get control of it. Paul Gazelka and the rest of the Republicans want to start spraying gasoline all over the place. Thank God for Governor Walz, because Governor Walz is really doing a good job. And I can tell you right now, if idiot Republicans were in charge of this state on the top level, well, first of all, Minneapolis would still be on fire right now. Let's be honest about it. Or be under some kind of military control with Bob Kroll as the Grand Duke of Minneapolis. Probably Jacob Fry and the city council locked up in jail or something of that nature. But this would be this case would be far worse. Our coronavirus would be far worse in Minnesota. And the Republicans' main concern would be making sure that we lie about the number of cases and deaths as opposed to caring for the number of Minnesotans that are sick. So Thank God for Governor Walz. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. When we do return, let's chat about the delightful nature of how Republicans are furious. And even one or two Democrats are furious about what happened with Christopher Columbus's statue. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Quality and low prices are benchmarks of Rudy Luther. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty and feature incredibly low interest rates. This June, you can get financing at 0% on certified used RAV4s and Camrys for well-qualified buyers. But remember, this offer is only good for June. Find your next car today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way a fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces strives to maintain a healthy environment for their customers and employees. They invite you to visit weekdays 9:30 to 5:30 and Saturdays 9:30 to 4. You'll find an uncrowded and comfortable social space to learn about Woodland Stoves' many indoor and outdoor fireplace products. More at woodlandstoves.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thank you very much, members. Oh, I do love you guys. Hey, no, I really do. And the reason why is that we, of course, like everyone else, when the coronavirus hit, things got a little tight around here. We were a little concerned. And we came up with the idea of the membership. You guys stepped up, and you stepped up strong. Oh, my God, you did. As a matter of fact, let me think. Scott, Minnetonka, Sheila in Minneapolis, Mark in Minneapolis, Kim in Minneapolis, William in St. Paul, Flo in Minneapolis, Thomas in Minneapolis, Gene in Bloomington, Jeff in Excelsior, Kathy in Pequot Lakes, also Charles in St. Paul, Joe in Minneapolis, and James in Inver Grove Heights. Thank you very much. You guys are all members, and because of that, you guys have the access to the special members-only content, by the way. You know, super secret. The member-only content, it's brand new interviews we've not aired on the air, and we don't plan on airing on the air. But we've got them for you. This week, Tom Hartman, a brand new one with Tom Hartman, which is just sensational. And so if you want to hear that, you have to become a member. Now, to become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And click on the member page. You can do a one-time donation or you give a donation every month. We do appreciate it regardless. And then you can become a member too. And once again, you're helping to preserve progressive radio through the 2020 cycle. And yeah, it's something which is it's incredibly important because let's face it, is there anyone else calling out the Republicans like this? Is there anyone else that's doing it? I mean, I've heard that they don't like me. I heard I am not on their Christmas card list. Sigh. Oh well. But needless to say, it is what it is. Tell you what, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Can we bring up David? Let's bring in David. David is in Chanhassen. Welcome on in, David. David?
Hello?
Hey-o.
I heard on Terry Gross's show the other evening, she was interviewing a guest who had done extensive work on studying police departments, and the conversation made its way to Minneapolis, of course, and she asked him if he knew of any unique things he found out about Bob Kroll, and he said that he had learned that he once had a white power patch on his motorcycle jacket.
Yeah, that was something City Pages, I believe, actually reported that one as well. And when he's asked about it, he's refused to talk about it.
There's a shock.
Yeah.
if somebody wanted to ever institute what Keith Olbermann used to do with Worst Person in the World when he was with ESPN, and then when he was with that, I think it was an Access network that folded, you could just rotate it among Gazelka, Bob Kroll, and Trump, and you'd have it covered.
And thank you very much, David. I appreciate the phone call. Has anyone told Bob Kroll's police? Have you guys tried not killing the African American men? Has anyone asked them that? We presume they would know, but you know you can do it the other way, right? Oh, Bob, no one likes you. Yeah, a good chunk of your own police department yesterday sent a letter that basically said we're not with him. So Gary's in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gare Bear. Gary.
Station. About 3-4 weeks ago, I think it was on the TV. Are you there?
Yeah, hi, Gary.
There was something on the TV about New Zealand, Iceland. There's 7 countries all run by women, and they have hardly any of this COVID. And we got Trump. We got the Republicans. No other country has Republicans. They have conservatives much different. They want people to have health care and pay their taxes and rich and stuff.
Well, and Gary, I'll step in there. There's a lot of countries that got a really bad thing. I mean, Turkey's pretty bad. Edrigan's pretty bad. Hungary's pretty bad. Russia? China? There's a lot of bad places. North Korea? They can't put a shine on that one. There are a lot of bad countries out there. The Republicans here are basically in the pocket of big money, and big money tells them what to do, and they say how high. So let's talk about Christopher Columbus. Now, I want to make sure I say very clearly here, because there are some conservatives who are saying, I bet you're happy, Matt. Vandalism hitting St. Paul. I bet you're happy. No, I've said the same thing. I don't condone vandalism. I do not condone it. And especially if I can make this one point, there is something I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with about here. The guy that's in the, I read the story and I'll see if I can track it down. I'll see if I can track it down. It sounds like the person who's in charge of the statues at the state capitol. Okay. He basically said no one has actually asked about removing the Columbus statue. Now, it's not like just a few days ago he said, Columbus, wow, who knew? No, he's a horrible human being. He was god-awful. He really was. He was just truly a god-awful individual. And we've known that for a while. Sorry, Italian-Americans, I know. But there's a few other Italians that did okay. A few of them, you know, they like their sex. Let's just put it that way. They died of it. But, I mean, the painters, my gosh, they couldn't stop. I mean, get a hose. Needless to say, you got other people you could put up on a pedestal. I mean, there really are some other people out there. Columbus was a horrible person. His legacy not only includes millions of dead natives on the North American continent and in the Caribbean, but also includes the actions which increased the slave trade out of Africa, created it basically. So the Columbus was a bad guy. How in the world is it that we did not, how in the world did we not get to a point where we just didn't have someone saying, let's get rid of it? You know, I don't quite understand that. Mariucci? I think we're going to put up a statue. There's Wellstone, I think Prince. There's a few other people that we could talk about. Some of the Native American leaders from the state over the thousands of years the state was around before it was a state. We probably could find one or two of them as well to easily put up a statue about. And if history matters so much, how about that history? We should have learned that a little bit.
Well, I was thinking of Italian-American Minnesotan specifically.
Mariucci is not bad. There's a few guys that know how to cook a pasty up on the range. I could make a statue for them. Oh, my God. Oh, Iron Range pasties are so tasty. Anyway, that aside, there is a failure here. If there is a process to remove that statue and no one has gone down that path to take that statue down, well, that's not on the Republicans. That is someone not doing their due diligence, because you know what? I don't give a rat's caboose how it comes down. Well, I'd rather not see it vandalized. But would there be this hubbub right now if everyone went home one night, they were sent a truck out there in the middle of the night, took Columbus down, put him on a flatbed and hauled him away? Hey, where'd the Columbus statue go? Well, we took him down last night because he's a horrible human being. All right. No one tried to do it. Doesn't sound like anyone tried to do it that way. And that is a massive failure. That is a massive failure. Now, needless to say, the way it did come down, oh, the Republicans are, their panties are in a bunch. There they are. Wednesday, a group of protesters, some of them Dakota and Ojibwe, pulled the 10-foot Columbus off his pedestal, and Columbus is down! Columbus is down! State Patrol troopers looked on the distance and did not interfere. By the way, this was all up on Facebook. They were going to do this. So I want to give the patrol actually some credit. I don't think there was orders necessarily to not go in there and do this, but they just sort of said, you know what? Do we really want to be the guys that are standing up for Columbus? They do it, and they are, to my knowledge, the people that pulled down the statue are going to face charges, which they knew they would. Actions, responsibility. I don't know what the, you know. I once again, I can understand the vandalism element is not exactly resting well with some people, but you know, that statue needed to come down. And you know, the Republicans, they seem to, why can't we get our guy back up? Yeah, that sort of thing. It came down, by the way, that did come down super easy. I mean, I'm like, a strong gust of wind would have taken down Columbus. So let's start off, Drazkowski from Mazeppa, the Draz. Once tried to assure the state actions and documents could only be presented in English, so he can't be racist at all. He called out Flanagan for not basically saying what she was not going to be too upset that the statue was coming down. This from Minnesota's lieutenant governor. She endorses the destruction of public property by criminals because of the outcome supports her personal worldview. Sack. That's what Drazkowski. Oh, Draz, stop clutching your pearls. How about a Democrat? Dave Tomasoni from Chisholm. Went as far as, and dude, someone needs to talk to him about word usage. This is what he said. Wanton destruction of property on the Capitol grounds isn't acceptable and is unlawful. It should have been stopped. What's next? Destruction of the Capitol building itself. Looting inside? Someone should be held accountable, arrested, charged, and pay reparations. You want to know the truth is, I'm not against what Dave's comment is. It's just, when you get to the reparations part, come on, man. I don't need the dog whistles from the left. Jim Nash, Republican from Oconia. He's the one after the auditor. And this is their whole thing, is that just anyone that they talk about Columbus, they want to go after them. Then it's like, Madam Auditor, do you condone the destruction of property? Whether or not someone agrees what the statue represents, wanton destruction of that item isn't something we want our students to learn, is it? Processes and the way we change things. Wouldn't you agree? So, you know, but we already know you guys would have said, Columbus is great. We're never taking down that statue. I mean, you would. I mean, let's be honest with you. Jason Lewis. Oh, Jennifer was upset about this, wasn't he? All right. Once again, Minnesota Dems deliberately stood down as vandals took over the streets without public order. Anarchists will take over neighborhoods, parks. I believe they're Native Americans. They're not anarchists. And they have a gripe with Columbus, FYI. Read a history book, you idiot. Property, free speech, the rule of law, under assault. That's what he says. Oh, Mary Franson. Mary Franson. She chimed in. Open up a business without a blessing and the governor or Antifa Ellison. Oh, come on, Mary. Just yell the N-word. Come on, Mary. You want to yell the N-word? Just yell the N-word, Mary Franson. You want to do it. We all know you want to do it. Come on. Just let it all go. Antifa Ellison. Just yell the N-word. You want to do it, and it'll probably with your base, it will resonate. Come on. Wow. So she says that the governor and Antifa Ellison will be fined $25,000 for opening a business under a pandemic. But nothing happens, though when someone tears down the statue. I got news for you. No, they're going to prosecute these people. I mean, that's the whole narrative is no one's being held accountable. No, they're going to prosecute the people that tore it down. That's the case. So your argument is that the Columbus statue should be standing. That's the case. Oh, okay. Kurt Dowd is why the press is going to be there. Here's the reason I want to make sure I bring this up, okay? Patrick, save the date. It's June 12th. It is 3:51 in the afternoon. All right? When Trump gets his ass handed to him in November, there are going to be a lot of loon balls running around this country, shooting at people, trying to burn down buildings, and trying to start fires. There are, and doing lots of damage. There are. That the Republican Party has got these people wound up so tight that when their guy loses and loses badly, they're going to explode. And it's going to be like the Bundy Ranch folks everywhere. When this does happen, when some far-right MAGA hat-wearing jackass tries to burn down a community center in the early parts of November, when some MAGA guys start trying to open fire on a high minority population area, when they start trying to tear down the statues of Martin Luther King and stuff like that, when that happens, these same Republicans who are outraged about vandalism, endangering the community, all this stuff, they will say nothing. Nothing. They will be quiet, and as a matter of fact, they'll probably say, a lot of people are upset about this, and I think Trump was robbed. They will, as a matter of fact, some of them will be encouraging it. So when they sit there on their fake little throne that they have created for themselves about their piety and their decency, remember this, come early November, that when their guys start going on rampages because Trump gets his ass kicked out of the White House, they're going to be the ones saying nothing. Because it doesn't matter what happens. It's only can they make a political point of it. 952-946-6205. Mark the calendar. Mark the June 12th. I've called it right now. You won't see anything from Drezkowski. You won't see anything from Mary Franson. You won't see anything from Kurt Dowd. Nope, you won't see a thing from them when this happens. Because it will happen, too. You won't see a damn thing from them. Not a thing. It won't. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Marvin Gaye is going to take us out for the rest of the week. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array. 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Business Services to learn more.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. My guest for the whole show, Mr. Aaron Dixon. He wrote a book called My People Are Rising, a memoir of a Black Panther Party captain. Speaking from his home in New Mexico, tells me about his political awakening, listening to Martin Luther King speak as a young child, and his time in the Black Panthers, and more. This Saturday on AM 950 at 6 p.m., the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Nope, they're not going to say a dang word. No. They aren't, because they're cowards. All these guys on the right, they're cowards. They're absolute freaking cowards. They are. They don't, they're not going to really do anything to stop the police brutality against the African Americans. They're going to just do window dressing on it. They're not going to try to protect the people of Minnesota during the coronavirus. They're just going to basically try to reopen up everything and say, well, it sucks to be you if you get sick or if your grandparent dies. And they're sure as heck not going to get outraged at all when their people try to do damage to other people. They're not going to do that. But that is who these people are. That is the right in America today. Marvin Gaye, the song is just better and better. Have a good weekend. Try to find some positivity. We will be back on a Monday. Until then, see ya.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, pick it light. Sides. Don't punish me, sister, with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see. Sister. Oh.